killed after a bus hijacking in Atlanta, right in the middle of rush hour. ABC's Rhiannon Alley explains what happened.
Person shooting on the bus.
Passengers reporting a gunman on a county bus in Atlanta, holding hostages. Officers arrive, but then the suspect orders the bus driver at gunpoint to start driving.
A bus that is just barreling down the road.
A chase ensues across multiple counties. Police finally used a spike strip to bring the chase to an end, arresting 39-year-old Joseph Greer, a convicted felon with 19 prior arrests.
Jurors in Hunter Biden's gun case say they were not swayed by politics when the convicted president's son on three federal charges. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today, expected to keep interest rates the same. This morning, we also find out the consumer price index for the month of May. That is a gauge of inflation and something the Fed watches closely. This is ABC News. In Florida, a federal judge has blocked the state law that restricts gender-affirming care for minors. Camille Lewis is a transgender activist there.
Access to gender-affirming care to me means life.
Governor Ron DeSantis is promising to appeal. A new study highlighting what a lot of us already feel, the cost of owning a home is through the roof. All of it adds up, from insurance to TV bills. Home ownership costs are up 26% since the pandemic began. A champion eater this summer won't get to defend his belt.
Joey Chestnut!
For some Americans, a July 4th without Joey Chestnut may feel like a hot dog bun without a wiener. In a stunning turn of events on Tuesday, it was reported that the 16-time champ had been quote-unquote banned from the upcoming Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest after he had signed a sponsorship deal with vegan hot dog brand Impossible Foods.
ABC's Danny New. Chestnut, in a post on social media, says he was, quote, gutted to hear about the ban. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Save big money on everything for your next project today at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer, plus other great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
All this week from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
I'll see if I can do this from memory.
All right.
I don't think I can. I'm going to have to Google it, I guarantee it. All right. Pride
Civic
Night last
news,
night and American
I'm
Family
Staff.
Field.
Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
You
Wisconsin
were there in
tourism
attendance,
had a record-breaking year in 2023, bringing in $25 billion in profit. Travel Wisconsin Communications Director
and
Craig Trost says this is
that.
The second year in a row Wisconsin tourism recorded record-breaking numbers.
Tourism's economic impact grew in all 72 Wisconsin counties
I know that part.
In 2023.
And that
was
on
led by 45.9 million overnight visits to Wisconsin. That was up about half a million.
Milwaukee County alone brought in $4 billion. Wisconsin tourism continues to be one of the largest drivers of Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin DNR announced it will be awarding almost $600,000 in urban forestry grants to cities,
LGBTQIP2SAA.
The grants will fund projects that help cities manage
acronym.
Their trees and improve urban forestry.
What any of it means
and that's what you need to know.
I do.
I'm Ella Saff,
and I think the Milwaukee Brewers took the
news.
Second to last A in the LGBTQIP2SAA.
The Brewers lose to the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
Second to last
the Brewers' 6-game winning streak at home is over. They lost 3-0 to the Toronto Blue Jays before the game. Third baseman leadoff batter Joey Ortiz.
Milwaukee Brewers
from the lineup,
lost 3-0
Pat
last
Murphy
night. I
after
think they
the game.
Took
Ortiz
one.
Has
they
a slight hamstring strain, and we didn't want
to
take any chances,
last night for
so we're going to evaluate it tomorrow
score.
And
Milwaukee Brewers
go from there.
asexual last night. Did not score. Lose to the Blue Jays.
22-year-old Carlos Rodriguez making his major league debut. The third rookie pitcher to do so this season for the Brewers.
You got to see
how Murphy surprised him with the news.
He was telling me, yeah, I think we're going to throw a bullpen on Saturday, and then after we're going to put you on the development list on Monday. And he threw me off there, and then he's like, you're going to start against Toronto on Tuesday. Pretty cool. All the coaches were in there. So it was a good experience.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Carlos Rodriguez.
Well, let me tell you, first
Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Yeah. For today, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny and breezy otherwise. Winds will gust up to 25 out of the southwest. Highs today in the low 80s. Showers and storms tonight, a low around 60. For Thursday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 76.
Right now, it's 44.
He scored two. I think
Todd Albaugh. Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane McNair on the road. Also, Phil Meade from WRC.
The franchise record for different pitchers to make a start through four, the franchise itself.
He 1969 should be on the ballot to run for the Seattle Pilots, right?
Who eventually then did become.
Oh wait, he was never
the
on the ballot to run
once
for the president.
Folded
other
and moved to Milwaukee.
Convicted
Austin,
felon.
In fact, the first game
on the other,
Milwaukee
well,
Brewers.
Anyway.
They did not have their uniforms
coming
ready.
Up on that topic.
You can still see
later on.
Their,
a reminder, as always, you can
the
reach
first
us
game.
Here
the it still said,
by calling or texting.
Well, they took the stitching off of Seattle,
75
the Pilots,
Civic,
and you can still see the stitching on their jersey of what their old team used to be called.
You can also use the Civic Media app. And
so how's the night itself?
Civic Media app in mind because
you get a flag for Grant Bills?
Scotty Summer statewide text contest rolls on through the rest of this week.
The times. All right, so take us through. Austin, a Michigan man, also a Cubs fan,
won
Pride Night
using the app
at,
for your chance
in
to
Milwaukee.
Wisconsin Dells Prize
kinda,
Pack.
Kind of makes sense. Maybe it doesn't make sense. But anyway, look at it. So take us through the night. I'll take us through the night. All right.
Keep that
so,
in mind an hour from now.
I get off the Yim Yons about 3 o'clock.
From Brittany Merlot, where we've got a nice summer-like warm-up on the way.
Yeah, you get, made some good tips.
But we're going to have to get through some stormy weather.
Jim Leonard over the weekend at Jimmy Jerry. He did.
Perhaps this afternoon. Perhaps again tonight. Brittany's got all the details coming up in just a little
leave about
bit.
Four. Pick up my friends.
We have it being Wednesday, our
one,
climate check
another
segment
one
with Keith, Melissa
and
Baldoff,
one Madison.
And we have had a lot to say about the climate
me,
and energy benefits
Aiden,
in something
Randy,
called the Inflation
Randy,
Reduction
yep.
Act. But we thought
Zach,
we would maybe take a step back for a moment.
College, Lucas.
For
some reason, I thought like, you were going
talking
with, like,
about
your Uncle
this Inflation Reduction Act.
No,
what
I
is
thought
it?
This was like an
so
adult supervised.
Go back to its
it
roots.
Adult supervised.
When
okay.
it was known
so you guys
as
out there, you make
yeah,
the
right,
trek
you know,
up
the,
to
the Build Back Better plan from the newly elected president, Joe Biden. And then it went through the congressional meat grinder.
Oh, that's legit.
It's a lesson in perseverance and compromise.
So hang on.
And also the potential to make a good thing even better.
You
in the future,
away. You didn't pregame
rather than
in
just
yourself?
Taking your ball and going
you
home.
Up and went to the parking lot.
Yeah. You, legislative Republicans, we'll talk about what you've been doing in the second hour. Withholding money for children to improve their reading and literacy capabilities
fact,
in Wisconsin.
Ran over a cone in the parking lot
because of the temper tantrum you're having over Governor Tony Evers having the right to use a line item veto.
We
will discuss how.
I forget.
Republican legislators took a bipartisan plan
stadium.
To improve literacy in Wisconsin schools and have managed
to
turn it into yet another unfunded mandate.
Pretty sparse.
Todd Albaugh is on the road this week, taking his shows hither and yon. Today's hither would be Richland Center. Tomorrow's yon would be Eau Claire. Friday would be Amory. Yeah. So we'll catch up with him in Richland Center and talk more about the road trip.
We sit
looking
down.
Looking at the text line coming in now, and a couple of folks are telling us that there is some... annoying beeping sounds coming over the feed there.
Okay, give us the menu for Austin.
The menu for Austin at the stadium was
Greg needs you have a heart monitor on? Is that beeping coming from you?
No, it's not. I have no idea what's coming on.
It's an old school
right now. People are hearing Bull Falls Radio.
You are a baseball
guy. A beeping noise and something else, but we are working on it currently right now. I have let Luke Mathers know.
And
we apologize for the technical difficulties, but it is.
A large Dippin' Dots.
I just thought maybe a pacemaker or something.
How old do you think I am?
Dippin' Dots. I haven't had Dippin' Dots since like I was in the Wisconsin Dells when I was like 12 years old.
I only have a condition. I need to know what my condition is.
What makes the Dippin' Dot better than the ice cream?
Okay.
You know,
do you ever get nice?
I really can't tell you because ice cream is probably better.
You like the
balls
station
in your mouth. The bees.
I'm betting not, but maybe you get a few.
Sure. I get it. I understand.
We got a letter from a really nice
we went to get ice cream and Dippin' Dots was the first thing.
She's a huge fan.
And you just gotta get it.
Yeah. How much is a cup of Dippin' Dots?
And she wrote a really wonderful letter just kind of saying how much
for a cup of Dippin' Dots?
Yeah. Kind of telling us her favorite parts of the show and inviting us to her wedding. We weren't able to go. It was kind of a last minute invite, but I think she came by later.
That's probably why you came in.
She's like, I just wanted to say, why not? Go for it. Invite
Austin's like, I don't know if it's yesterday. I was like, we don't get many, but the ones we do get are back or how late I get back from the Brewers game.
One of the best decisions we ever made at Upland News was to make sure that we opened up a P.O. box right here in beautiful Chippewa Falls. Because we were noticing that when Courier News
$5
bottle
of Sprite.
Their news outlets in all these other states. Well, the parent company was in Washington, D.C., I think, at the time.
And probably got a pitching for parking and gas, maybe.
You know, everybody's got their own little local outlet.
I drove,
and
so they...
I'm like the old guy there for like the whole national network,
there's wear and tear in your car.
And
it
didn't occur to them until like the first newsletter started going out and people writing in going, oh, you're not a Wisconsin news outlet. Your address at the bottom of the newsletter says Washington, D.C., or whatever it was.
All right, so that welcome in everybody.
When you sign up for one of these services like MailChimp or whatever,
could have another experience. Starting pitcher
in address at the bottom.
Fire,
the company
puts
the company address.
The match today,
well, that
10.
Takes away any Wisconsin
Kikuchi,
touch whatsoever.
He actually
dialed
in,
man. The
Brewers got no hit.
That's a good idea.
Kikuchi, though, was
the best thing we ever did. Because every so often when we do our equivalent of a pledge drive,
he couldn't get his
and people send something to P.O. Box 27 in Chippewa Falls 54729.
Kikuchi speaking through interpreter.
We get all kinds of them holding us to the camera.
He struggled with what he was going to do. Hard mound surface. And a limited slider and a curveball initially.
That they don't know how to use
the Brewers
PayPal.
Had a pitcher
they don't want to use
who couldn't get his slider and curveball going
right out of
check. And they still couldn't score
we're
a freaking
about
run.
How much
again they
I,
went
I enjoy up North
asexual
news,
last night
Catherine
for Pride Night.
I love your broader state
they
features, especially
they
central northern
base.
Areas of the state.
They left
the current
base.
Political
like,
information
the
is essential. Thank you.
Rubber match today still Brewers Cubs lose last night too.
And I
saw that.
I've got a photo. I take a photo before I send all this to
the
home office. I take photos and I've got photos of all these nice notes from all these days. I got to make a collage. But it's just a good reminder to all
of
us. Game. The handwritten note
sudden,
is such a lost art.
It makes you feel good because you just know that someone sat
Bay
down and took the time. What do we have not a lot of nowadays?
The Cubs and the Rays, the identical
Everyone's
record
busy.
Now. 32 and
I know, it's amazing. We have all these things that are supposed to give us
Pirates,
more time, make our lives easier,
way.
And we fill the vacuum
in the NL Central,
with doing more things rather than making time.
6.5 games behind the Brewers, while the Reds, Cubs, and Cardinals.
Where's the one meme that I keep seeing?
Seven games.
I want AI to
place.
Wash
the
dishes and do the laundry so that I have more time to write rather than AI doing my writing so I have more time to wash the dishes and do the laundry. And I'm like,
Paul
yes,
Skeens.
Amen. That's exactly how this is supposed to work.
From the St. Louis Cardinals
robots
fans.
To take care of.
At
wild.
Bush Stadium.
I want robots to call balls and strikes. I just
don't think I've ever seen that.
Here he goes.
No, Pat, I think... Last season, I spent half that season griping about the pitch clock, and then I realized this was for good. Mm-hmm. This was for a good thing. And now this year, with all of the shenanigans with Angel Hernandez and some other umps who aren't great either, I'm like, what? Put a robot behind home plate, leave umps at each first and third, and then good. We're good.
Yeah. There and... I'm not going to try to regurgitate it because I'll get the details wrong, but minor league baseball is using a variation of it. They've actually tried two different variations, much like they tried the pitch clock for a couple of years before bringing it up to the big leagues. So we're going to see it at some point. And thank you, Lynn and Economowoc, for telling us that the signal is nice and clean again. We appreciate that.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah. So look, it's going to come, but, and I don't know who was behind the plate at the Brewers game last night, but that strike zone was just, I mean, and of course you can see where the ball is hitting. You can see the call is bad, and yet there was nothing you can do about it. Not that the Brewers were hitting things anyway, losing to Toronto 3-0 last night. Today's a day game. They're going to wrap up the series. Any chatter out there about, sometimes on day games, you hear people going, "Hey, you want to use a couple of the station tickets and go?" Or anything? You didn't get solicited to go.
No, I didn't.
Skip out, did you?
If it was a Tuesday, I totally would, or a Thursday. But Wednesday, I got to be at the club tonight for the open mic. So it's like, I can't do that thing where it's like, I got to work later because I can't enjoy the game then. But, yeah. But no one offered me, free tickets, Luke Mathers. Luke Mathers, the handsome and capable. I'll take some free tickets. Thank you, sir.
Get some work done, and now he's working, and now we're buttering him up. and then we'll figure it all out tomorrow how he feels about it because he has to watch Top Chef tonight.
Is tonight the end?
Tonight is the penultimate episode.
Love that word.
It's a two-part. I know, isn't it great? It's a two-part finale, I guess, always. And so, yeah, part one of the final, I don't know, chef off, whatever it is. Like, I don't know. I'm new to the show.
They can't. No.
So yeah, we'll get part one. They're on a boat. You know, they left Wisconsin and they revealed last week that for the final two part cook off or whatever, they're going on a Caribbean cruise.
Oh, so they got tired of just going to Madison and Milwaukee and Madison and Milwaukee and Madison and Milwaukee.
Yep. Apparently, and this is all according to Luke, who has seen all 21 seasons of the show. But I guess at the end, they leave wherever they're going and they take them on a vacation, which I guess is a nice thing, given that, you know, they've got them cooped up in a hotel for however long it is. And by the way, I don't know how long it is. How long did, you know, we see it across, what, 10 episodes or whatever it was, 12 episodes?
Yeah.
But I wonder how long it takes them to do all those.
I think it's like, I think the whole thing takes like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
But also, that's not much of a vacation when you're stressing over whether or not you're going to win this contest. Or
right, yes.
Like, that's not the definition of relaxation.
No. Although I would hope that after that, I mean, as long as you're here on the boat, you may as well kick back for a while. I mean, you know, some of you are losers, but you get to stay and drink on us. And you, the winner, you don't get to enjoy this. Because, you know, you're the winner, so we got to do a press tour.
Oh, not to mention, you can't talk about this at all.
And you can't talk about it. That's got to be just, terrible. Terrible.
That would be hard for you. If you won a contest and now you can't talk about it for like 3 months.
Yeah, could not possibly pull that off. No way. 6 o'clock temperatures around the state look like this. Here in Chippewa Falls, it's 55. Hayward's at 45. Park Falls, 46. Wausau's at 50. Green Bay, 54 degrees right now. La Crosse, 62. Wisconsin Rapids, 50. Oshkosh, 59. Madison, 59. And Waukesha's at 57 degrees. Mentioned the Brewers losing to the Jays 3-0. Carlos Rodriguez became the 8th Brewers pitcher to make their major league debut this season. The 22-year-old also became the 12th different starting pitcher for the Brewers through 67 games. Rodriguez is now the 16th Nicaraguan-born player in major league history and the first for the Brewers. In his debut, he worked 3 2/3 innings, giving up 2 runs on 7 hits while walking 1 and striking out 4. The finale against Toronto is at 1:10 this afternoon, off tomorrow, and then Cincinnati comes to town. We'll unpack the news coming up next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. It was on this day in 1967 that the United States Supreme Court in Loving versus Virginia declared that all state laws prohibiting interracial marriage to be unconstitutional. And yet, you have Justice Clarence Thomas and others on the Supreme Court who are ready to throw that out and so many other protections for folks. And as an undercover journalist found out last week in taping some comments from Justice Alito, who wants to get our country back to a place of godliness, as he calls it, there's a challenge ahead of us for people that would like to protect their rights. But again, more about that coming up in just a little bit. Greg, you said you've got a couple of clips. Would that be the Alito clips that you are talking about over there?
Yeah, if you want, I could load those up for you.
Oh, okay.
And we can play those in a few moments.
Did not know that those were handy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I just didn't.
Did you put me on the spot, or did I not put my... Did I not, sir, put myself on the spot?
You put yourself out there, and I appreciated that. So while you look for that as background, again, the journalist Lauren Windsor recorded Alito at the Supreme Court Historical Society's annual dinner last week and was talking about whether compromise between the left and the right is even possible. The journalist found that Alito agreed with her in talking about the U.S. needs to return to, quote, a place of godliness. And I imagine that's what you have over there, Greg.
Yes, I do.
All right.
As a Catholic and as someone who, like, really cherishes my faith, I don't know that we can negotiate with the left in the way that, like, needs to happen for the polarization to end. I think that it's a matter of, like, winning.
I think you're probably right. One side or the other is going to win. I don't know. I mean, there can be a way of living together peacefully, but it's difficult, you know, because there are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised.
All right, so that was actually the key quote. I'm so glad you had that one there. And as Matt from Germantown just texted in, our country was founded on a separation of church and state. That's correct, Matt. And so when Justice Alito says, you know, there are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised, the separation of church and state is one of those fundamental things. At least that where I would. And in another instance, the justice essentially blames the media for a lot of these ills. Let's hear about that and, you know, comments made about his wife and the whole flag controversy.
I think, like, public trust. And, like, how do we get back to that?
I wish I knew. I don't know. It's easy to blame the media, but I do blame them. Because they do nothing but criticize us. And so they have really eroded trust in the courts. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, ordinary people, ordinary isn't the right word. American citizens in general need to work on this to try to heal this polarization, because it's very dangerous.
I would argue that one of the ways not to have a polarized country is not to, I don't know, throw out people's fundamental rights that they've enjoyed for 49 plus years, as they had under Roe v. Wade, and to make noises that you would erode other rights, or maybe leak major Supreme Court decisions like the Dobbs decision, you know, before you repeal those rights. Those are some ways that you could restore trust. Another would be to recuse yourself from cases where you might have a financial interest. Or if you're Clarence Thomas, let's say your wife was encouraging an insurrection against the country. So no, we're not. There's a lot. Look, every Friday morning, Mark Jacob and I pick apart media coverage of, you know, some of the leading issues of the day. But media coverage of the Supreme Court isn't what's eroding trust in it. In fact, it's people like Lauren Windsor there and others who are not on the U.S. Supreme Court beat who are breaking these stories about essentially, you know, sanctioned bribery of justices and flying flags upside down at their residence. The people on the media beat for the U.S. Supreme Court, they didn't get those stories. Or they heard about them, like the Washington Post, and just kind of let it slide. So, no, it's not going to be the media in this case. And we can talk as well about the tactics that Lauren Windsor used, and we can talk about that with Mark Jacob as well on Friday. And whether if you are going to an event and claiming to be something you're not, like Lauren Windsor in this case, talking about being a Catholic who wants to get us to a place of godliness, there are news organizations that would not and should not do that. You know, there are news organizations that should always let people know who they are when they're interviewing them, identify themselves, ask questions, knowing full well that now that that subject knows you're a journalist, they may tailor their answers accordingly. Undercover journalists, on the other hand, who will sometimes, you know, conceal their identity. In Lauren Windsor's case, she says the difference is that when she does that, and she's done this with several other political figures, it's always at a public event. You're not, you know, recording them privately in private conversations at private events. These are things that they're saying to people. They're just not saying them to people if they know there's a journalist around. So essentially, what you're getting is, you know, a leaked document, a leaked memo, a leaked email, you know, something that somebody else is recording. Remember Mitt Romney and 47% comment that he made when he was running for president? You know, that wasn't a journalist, if memory serves. It was somebody who was working at the hotel conference room where he said it and then leaked that to the media. All of this is to say, we can talk about the media leaking things, you know, 8 ways to Sunday. We can talk about the tactics. But in the end, you would come back to somebody like Justice Alito and say, do you take any of this back? Or do you acknowledge that in a moment of candor, we now know where you are, that you don't think that, you know, right and left can come together, that there are fundamental things that really can't be compromised? Because if that's the case, we deserve to know what it is that you think can't be compromised. Is it the separation of church and state? Or is that you're willing to tell women what they can and cannot do with their own bodies? Because then that's going to help those women and their allies make decisions about who should be in the White House next year, appointing the next group of judges. All right, I was going to mention as well, but I'll save it for a little bit later, but in a somewhat related note, the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday suspended former President Trump's lawyer Jim Troupas from a state judicial ethics panel a week after he was charged with a felony for his role in the 2020 fake elector scheme. So we'll get into that a bit more through the course of the morning as well. But coming up next, we'll have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff. We'll go back to the early days of the Inflation Reduction Act and how we got to a point of having historic legislation that can help you save money on your energy bills and be good for the climate as well. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here comes the heat, and traders are anticipating that the heat we're expecting in Wisconsin and across the countryside could impact beef production. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That brings some concern to the marketplace, according to John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says while cattle prices continue to climb higher, he's concerned that consumers are about ready to say, whoa.
Yeah, I'm going to be very cautious with this market going forward. First off, just concerns regarding the consumer really keep coming at me with inflation still staying where it is. The tightness of the consumer dollars we've seen here with, you know, in terms of credit card debt, things of that nature. You know, if they just shut off and start moving to cheaper products of protein in terms of poultry or pork, you know, this beef market could get overvalued. So to me, a rally in this window is an opportunity for producers to lock in some long-term levels of support here and lock some of these prices in.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Now, this morning in Chicago, markets are a little bit mixed. I've got your numbers next. Welcome to today's Merck Minute with special guest Austin Snook, U.S. Dairy Marketing Manager for Merck Animal Health. He's here to share some exciting things happening at Merck Animal Health. Austin, tell me about Empower.
Really excited to introduce Empower to all the listeners. So Empower is the comprehensive dairy portfolio that Merck Animal Health offers. And really, it brings together AllFlex identification products, SenseHub dairy monitoring, and comprehensive biopharma solutions, all offered through Merck Animal Health. And so really, it's about these powerful tools that come together to help dairy producers run a profitable dairy. And it's really important that all these tools work together so that producers can eliminate guesswork, solve problems, and ultimately put more milk in the tank. The dairy industry, as we know, is always changing, and Merck Animal Health is leading the charge with this innovative solutions-focused approach.
Austin Snook, U.S. Dairy Marketing Manager for Merck Animal Health, and that's today's Merck Minute. Learn more at empowerdairy.com. In the dairy markets on Tuesday, barrel cheese gained 4.25 cents to 201. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 3.75 cents, 193.5. AA butter, 2.5 cents higher at 310.5 per pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, it's down a penny right now, 20.52 a hundredweight. August milk is down 6, 20.94 a hundredweight. December new crop corn is up a penny at 4.66. November new crop soybeans are up 3 at 11.54. The wheat had a big run yesterday, but July new crop this morning down 3 cents, 6.23 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand on a Wednesday morning. Don't forget the Wisconsin State FFA convention underway in Madison. We've got pictures up. Fabulous Farm Babe or Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm PM Yankee.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny and breezy. Otherwise, winds will gust up to 25 out of the southwest. Highs today in the low 80s. Showers and storms tonight, a low around 60. For Thursday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 76.
Right now, it's 44.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday for the Crudy birthday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. That means less fat jokes, more short jokes. Dom and Crude and you tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. It's
electric. And we're back now at 6:34 on this Wednesday morning, Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow here, Melissa Baldoff over there for our weekly climate check report. This time a bit more about the political climate than the climate, but the two are very much intertwined, as you're going to find out in today's history lesson. Melissa Baldoff, good morning.
Good morning.
We realized we have talked so much about the Inflation Reduction Act from a climate standpoint in this segment, the energy efficiency credits and the rebates and the jobs that can be created. But we've also talked about the Inflation Reduction Act from a healthcare standpoint, Medicare being able to negotiate lower drug prices. We've talked about IRS enforcement. And it just seemed like this was a good time to go back to the beginning. And what is the Inflation Reduction Act that we've been talking about all of this time? And Melissa, let me start with the political premise, because we both have been involved in politics for a long time. Maybe the best way to explain what is the Inflation Reduction Act is that it's President Joe Biden's original Build Back Better plan, but after it went through the sausage grinder that is Congress. Is that a good way to give an overview of it?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a good way to think about it and to describe it. I'm excited about this little, you know, kind of living history lesson that we're doing. It's interesting to me because I just finished up a similar project at the end of the school year with my ninth grader who's going into 10th grade, had to do a project in social studies at the end of the year about the Affordable Care Act and how it came to be and what was in it and how it became law. So that's really interesting for me now to be thinking about this and how did the Inflation Reduction Act come into law? Because, you know, 10 years from now, that's going to be something that kids in school are studying, because we know that this is such a transformational piece of legislation that is going to have a generational impact. I'm excited to dig into this and talk about how this came to be and, you know, kind of what the history is.
Yeah, because a lot of this deals with President Biden's first 2 years in office when there was a Democratic House as well as a Democratic Senate. By the way, I add as a footnote, the Democratic House and Senate both had razor-thin majorities. And so compromises had to be made, looking at you, Joe Manchin, and others. But things did get done compared to the dysfunction that is the Republican-controlled House, which has the same kind of small margin, but they cannot agree amongst themselves. So President Biden came into office, and even going before that as a candidate, talked about an American Rescue Plan, which was going to help get the economy, you know, out of, you know, past COVID and through the crisis. There was this Build Back Better plan that became the Inflation Reduction Act. And there was this American Jobs Act, which we now know as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. So you had these three pieces, and then later others would come, like the CHIPS and Science Act and things like that. But Build Back Better became the Inflation Reduction Act and this multi-pronged approach. But at the time, Melissa, when Congress was debating everything that was going to be in Build Back Better, inflation was very high as the American economy was coming out of the pandemic recession. And it was a real concern, not just from Republicans, but frankly, a few Democrats that said, hey, this can't just be some big spending grab bag. There have to be things in here as well that could attack the deficit and that could lower costs for consumers, which would, you know, basically help reduce inflation. So there was that. It's much more than a wish list. There's a lot of practicality involved in this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that when you look at this, you know, all together and you think about what President Biden's commitment is to the American people, that, you know, he really took this as an opportunity to focus on, yes, the physical infrastructure, but also what he's, you know, calling that human infrastructure. So to tackle climate change, but also to, you know, take on, you know, childcare and healthcare while doing things like broadband, EVs, you know, our physical infrastructure. People were scared, and President Biden was able to come in. And like you said, even with these, you know, just razor thin majority, just barely able to get some things done, but got these incredible, huge, important things done that are going to transform this country for years and years to come. So yeah, I think it's really amazing what he's been able to accomplish. And it's really, I think, representative of why he ran for president. And what his promise was to the American people was, I'm going to get things done for you because I know you're hurting and I know what you're telling me you need, and I'm going to be responsive to those needs.
Along with Build Back Better and the American Jobs Plan, which became the bipartisan infrastructure law, there was also talk of an American Families Plan, and that was going to be woven into Build Back Better as well. But this is where Joe Manchin and certainly every Republican gets involved when it came to, for example, paid family leave. That was one of the things that Joe Manchin helped kill. And so it didn't make the final bill that became the Inflation Reduction Act. And in fact, Manchin not only opposed the original legislation, saying that it was spending too much and could make inflation worse, he later backed out of a compromise bill that he had done, much like Republicans are doing right now on the bipartisan border bill. But at least at some point after a period of several weeks or even a couple of months, Manchin eventually came back to the negotiating table and said, okay, the president agreed to kind of slim down some of what he wanted to do on climate. But even then, we're still making historic investments that you and I have been talking about for months now that can get done. It's just that we had to get around a senator from West Virginia who is decidedly still in the pockets of coal, if not the oil companies as well. And yet, having worked that compromise through, you still have this landmark piece of legislation, Melissa.
Right. It does make it clear that there's more work to do, right? Because, like you said, we haven't addressed our childcare crisis, and it's just absolutely bonkers to suggest to families that are struggling to deal with rising costs that offering some relief for childcare, which is very often the biggest bill that anyone has in their budget. I know when my kids were both in daycare, that was bigger than my rent. And one of the reasons why I could not afford to own a home at the time. So to suggest that that's something that's too expensive is just nuts. And, you know, to see, you know, also Manchin opposing in that original deal, you know, expansion of the, you know, child tax credit, you know, so those are the kinds of things that are actually going to help.
Right.
With those, help families that are experiencing struggles due to the high cost of inflation. But like you said, we do have this piece of legislation that will help people, that is already going to be helping people save money on their energy bills, help people save money as they make improvements to their home. It's going to help make our, you know, air and water cleaner. It's going to make us have a healthier, cleaner economy as we move forward. But it is a challenge to know, you know, kind of what we could have had and what's on the line and what we can still get, but we have to choose that future where those other options are still going to be available to us and still be priorities for the people we have in elected leadership.
Right. People still chose to get something done. They weren't going to get everything that they wanted. Same with the Affordable Care Act. When that passed, we said, well, we could have done so much more if Joe Lieberman hadn't killed the, you know, the public option and things like that. So you've got room to build on a record of achievement. We clearly know that there are things that didn't make it into the final version of the Inflation Reduction Act that we can come back to. But having said that, this thing still passed. It passed in the House with every Democrat voting in favor, every Republican voting against. It passed the Senate 51-50 because Vice President Kamala Harris broke the tie, and it was all done. And Melissa, I'm just going to read off some of the provisions, and then you can pick any one or two of them that you want to talk about, because along with all the climate provisions that we've discussed, it continued expansion of Affordable Care Act subsidies. It made changes to Medicare Part D, made insulin affordable for Medicare recipients. Here's one about the IRS: by hiring up to 87,000 new employees, you improved customer service and you made it easier to crack down on billionaire tax cheats. There's a new 1% tax on stock buybacks, which I still can't believe are a thing. They weren't a thing until Ronald Reagan allowed companies to basically, you know, replace dividends with ways to make their executives richer. And then you had a minimum corporate tax rate, with companies that had more than $1 billion of income. They were no longer going to get away with so many loopholes that they basically paid no taxes. Among all those things, yeah, there's things, Melissa, that didn't get passed, but that's not a bad list for achievement in you know, one landmark bill.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think, you know, one of the ones that I hear the most from people and, you know, see so much conversation about and know what an impact it has is capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month. That is really, quite frankly, life-changing for a lot of people to know that, you know, that is critical medication that is life-saving medication. And, you know, we've all heard horror stories over the years of people having to ration their insulin, people having to go without, people having to choose between whether they're going to pay for their insulin or they're going to buy groceries. And by capping that cost at an amount that is a lot more affordable, that is really, really going to help people, you know, manage their budget, be able to, you know, be in charge of their health care without, you know, without breaking the bank. And also knowing that there is a cap on out-of-pocket drug costs at $2,000 for people on Medicare. You know, this is really something that has a huge impact for a lot of people and is a really good step, another step in getting healthcare costs under control, because as much progress as we've made on healthcare costs are still very out of reach and, you know, can be devastating for a lot of folks. So anything we can do to be getting healthcare more affordable is going to be critically important.
And so in conclusion, you take this big picture total bill, you break it down into these various components, which include $370 billion to, you know, fight a changing climate. Take that down to what we talked about last week, $9 billion nationwide to go to home efficiencies, including $150 million coming to Wisconsin homeowners in two different programs that Kevin Kane outlined for us last week. An article on that is coming to our website shortly over at upnorthnewswi.com. And so I wanted to take last week's discussion on individual help right to the homeowner and say, how did we get here again? And so, Melissa, thanks for indulging me, taking a few minutes to kind of give that oral history of how Build Back Better became the Inflation Reduction Act and became these things that bring credits and efficiencies right to the home level, and that there's more work to be done. This all sounds to me like something Joe Biden can run on.
It sure does. And I hope that people, you know, really, like we always talk about, continue to learn more about this. We're going to continue talking about this as much as possible, because those credits are out there. The rebates are out there. This is money that is available to people. We want everyone to take advantage of it. These are real savings for people in Wisconsin, around the country. And, you know, they've got to take advantage of that. So hopefully we can continue to spread the word. We're going to keep talking about this. And hopefully we see more and more of these investments come into Wisconsin.
Real savings and real jobs and real impact on the climate. And that's your climate check for this week. Melissa Baldoff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, we are about 15 minutes away from your next chance to win in the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. You're going to need the Civic Media app for that. Get it downloaded if you haven't already. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse.
One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Jazz keyboardist Chick Corea was born this day in 1941, passed away 3 years ago. Plenty of hits in his own right, but I always enjoy playing my favorite tune from him off the Happy Anniversary Charlie Brown soundtrack, The Great Pumpkin Waltz. Melissa Kay is here from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I thought that sounded, isn't that Vince Guaraldi?
It's Vince Guaraldi's tune. Okay. As played by Chick Corea, yes.
Gotcha.
So just really, really enjoy this.
Welcome does to not have to Jazz be Jazz Hour.
Does not have to be a great pumpkin time of year to enjoy that.
Never. Too. Can always be.
Yep. Yep. Melissa, when we talked to you a couple of weeks back, you said that there was going to be this big announcement. Then we talked to you like the week after that, and you said, I can't tell you yet. And the week after that, you said, I can't tell you yet. Melissa, can you tell us the big announcement already?
We are doing
well. We got to go to commercial, folks. Sorry about that. I guess
you're so great, Greg. We are doing some programming changing on WFHR. We are going to have local shows from 4 to 6, and so we're going to have Playmakers 3 days a week instead of just one, and that will be from on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then I get my own show.
What? Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That is so cool. What are we calling it?
It's going to be called Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
Aww. Love it.
After you guys made fun of my other name, I had to pick something else.
What was the other name?
What other name?
I'm not telling you.
What? Oh, okay. Way to take your ball and go home.
No, it was Community Tees because it was on like the Tees, the Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Nope.
But yeah, vocally it didn't work.
Yeah. I don't remember mocking it, but yeah, I think you went in the right direction.
Yeah.
So good on you.
It'll be stories talking with our elders with history and our young people with their innovations in the area. I'm excited to get started.
Oh, that's cool. Do we know when we're getting going on this or is it still a work in progress?
It's still a work in progress right now, but... probably within the program change will happen soon. Mm-hmm. And then my show will launch probably sometime in July.
Will you remember us little people? Will you still come back on Wednesdays and talk to us?
Of course I will.
Oh, good.
I would miss you both so much.
Aww, we would miss you too.
Start it.
He said, pivoting back to regularly scheduled programming here. Birthdays today include singer Robin, who is 45 and had this classic 90s hit. We have a couple of basketball-related birthdays. Drew Holiday is 34 today, and he is not on a golf course with other Milwaukee Bucks players. He is still in the playoffs. He's in the NBA Finals and has a chance to wear a ring with the Boston Celtics, so good on him. And Marv Albert is 83 years old today and, I believe, still calling the games.
Yeah, I believe so, too, yeah.
I will occasionally, you occasionally see some classic video come up of Michael Jordan, yes! And I can't believe he's still active and still calling the games. But you know what? If Bob Uecker's calling games as well as he is at 90, and he is, he's sounding great, then Marv, you go for it. That's outstanding. Okay. Jennifer Lopez had the number one song this day in 1999. Which means it's been since 1999 that I really paid any significant attention to Jennifer Lopez. She's been on TV here and there, and now she's on TMZ pretty much every night because, you know, will they or won't they get divorced, her and Ben Affleck? I don't, if that's your life, you know, just showing up for the gossip shows on where you show up on the red carpet or are you getting divorced or not, that can't be the happiest life, you know? That's the price you pay for mega celebrity, Melissa, maybe? I don't know.
I guess so, but no thanks.
I mean, you're an award-winning radio person, Melissa. What's it like up there? I mean, you're just being hounding by the...
The air is thin, Greg. It's thin.
Yeah. You know, the Wisconsin Rapids paparazzi is relentless sometimes.
Why do you think I'm wearing this hat? I can't go out in public.
Can't be recognized. No, can't let that happen. The Supremes had the number one song this day in 1965. So Diana Ross singing Back in My Arms Again and Jennifer Lopez singing If You Had My Love and Robin singing Show Me Love just leads us to that reminder that this is Loving Day in the United States. The U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1965, Loving versus Virginia, that declared all state laws prohibiting interracial marriage to be unconstitutional. On this day in 1981, the very first Indiana Jones film franchise, the original Raiders of the Lost Ark, was released in theaters. The question back then was, this is a big summer blockbuster movie. Did people then see Harrison Ford as taking on this brand new character? Or for a while, were they still adjusting and going, why is Han Solo running away from this big rolling boulder, you know?
And not in space.
Yeah, and not in outer space. Now, the consensus, I'm sure, was at the time, this guy's good. He can do this franchise. Now, this turned into a franchise. He did several other films, you know, dramatic films mostly. You know, I think of Air Force One, which was yet to come, and so many more. But I don't know who would have predicted back then how many sequels and everything else that would have come from one little film that was released this day in 1981.
Mm-hmm. Soundtrack of my childhood.
Is it really?
Yeah. I sang that song in my head every time I met him through the woods.
That's awesome.
For me, it's also a reminder, John Williams. I mean, talk about a career that spans, you know.
He just retired and he's like 92.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I got no more songs left in me. Yeah. You know what? It was a pretty deep well while you had it. I mentioned that this is National Loving Day for Mildred and Richard Loving and their case before the Supreme Court. Child Labor Awareness Day, which we try to be mindful of Melissa's hours, being the youngin' that she is. This is National Jerky Day. So if you know any jerks in your life.
Hey, you know, jerky!
Hand them a meat snack and wish them a happy day. Peanut Butter Cookie Day.
Those are good.
Really, Greg, we're going to do this after you trash German chocolate cake?
Peanut butter cookies are good.
Oh, my gosh. Now I see where you went wrong. So I put up a whole TikTok about German chocolate cake yesterday just for you.
With the pecan coconut frosting?
All right, well, we're done here. All right.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Melissa Kay, so glad to hear the big announcement.
Good luck. Congratulations. The
show prep.
So thank you. Thank you.
Nice to see you. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys.
All right. And in the second hour of Up North News Radio, we will talk about bipartisan programs to improve literacy in Wisconsin, or at least it was bipartisan until Republicans decide.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Dr. Johnny Lupinacci for day 8 of Joe Biden's Top 100. We'll be talking about school vouchers and what they mean for your family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.